Why don't we look to the Lord in prayer once again? Thank you, Father, that we have the chance to be here tonight. Thank you for what has been a blessing already to our hearts, and we trust it's been a blessing and honoring to you. As our service continues and now we turn to your word, I pray that you would get all the glory. Guide what I say. Pray, Lord, that you would be able to speak to our hearts what we need. We thank you for this in your name. Amen. Here's a question for you. What is it that we are usually more concerned about? What we say or what we think? What is it that usually we are most concerned about? How many of you think it's what we say? How many of you think it's what we think? Who's right? Should we be more concerned about one over the other, our words or our thoughts? And if so, which one should we be more concerned about? What's that? They should match, huh? If we're concerned about our thoughts and we don't think it, it won't come out of our mouths. Is that what I heard you say? Okay. Should be the same, you say, Dick?
Our words should, they should both glorify God and be good thoughts.
All right. Well, wouldn't it be nice if we had a verse of scripture that could answer that for us? To show us which one we ought to be more concerned about. Words or thoughts. Let me ask you this. Which gets you more in trouble? What you say or what you think? Oh, now you're awake, aren't you? But truthfully, there is a portion of Scripture which teaches us that we ought to be just as concerned about what we think as what we say. Does anybody know where that might be? James? How about Psalm? Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the what? Meditation of my heart be what? Acceptable unto you. There's our text tonight. We're going to talk about words and thoughts, Judson. That's your title whenever you get back to the machine, okay? I'm sorry, Andrew. I was looking at Andrew and said Judson. Sorry, I wasn't trying to be cross-eyed there, but anyway, words. Let's think first of all about our words, and then we'll think about our thoughts, and we can go home. Sounds like we're going home in just a couple of minutes, doesn't it? Probably not. Now, somebody mentioned the book of James, and let's turn there as what kind of words do we say? What kind of conversation really comes out of our mouths? James 3, let's notice verses 6 through 10, and it talks about how that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body, And it setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith, or with the tongue, bless we God, even the Father, and with that same tongue we do what? We curse men which are made after the similitude of God. And out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. These things should not happen. I'm not going to ask for a display of hands, because I know we all know what we've just read is true about our own mouths. In one breath, we hear the words coming out of our mouth that seem to be so righteous and godly. And then a few moments later, someone crosses us, someone upsets us, someone ticks us off, someone does something to us. And where are the righteous words? I'm not saying we've lowered ourselves to filth and vulgarity, but where are the righteous sounding words when someone gets our goat and someone crosses us? What kind of words do we say? Oftentimes they're double. It depends on which side of the mouth the words are coming out of. Which side of the mouth do we use the most? The side that it's a blessing and it's an honor and a glory to the Lord, or it's self-oriented, motivated, and is dishonoring and displeasing to the Lord? So, our tongues can be, our words can be double. In one breath, we may say this, and in the next breath, we may say that. That's not the only kind of words that these tongues are capable of speaking. Turn with me, if you would, to Ezekiel 33. And here we see some hypocritical words that these tongues are guilty of. Hypocritical, what's that mean? What do I mean by that? If something is hypocritical, pardon? Two-faced, which means what? Say one thing, you do another, or you mean another. Gene, what are you saying? Thinking. Okay, look here at, certainly our words would never be hypocritical words. Surely we all always say what we mean and mean what we say, right? That'd be great. But in Ezekiel 33, verse 31, the Lord was speaking to Ezekiel the prophet, and he was speaking concerning God's people. God's people. Well, they always say the right thing, don't they? They always say what they mean and mean what they say. Look at verse 31. They come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their own desires, covetousness, hypocritical. The prophet was getting this message from the Lord. My people, they sit before you and they look so interested. They're not even falling asleep while you're speaking. They're really with you today. But the problem is, they don't have any intention of doing what you are instructing them. And you find that their mouth, they show much love. Oh, we sang the song. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Preach it, brother. Amen. How we like to sing about how that he's such a wonderful Savior to me. But how much do we let him control our lives? And how important is his will as our Savior in the way we live our life? You see, it's very possible in the 21st century to be guilty of the very same thing that the Lord was telling Ezekiel, that it's no different than us. Whether we're singing those songs that praise and out of our mouth is coming forth, James chapter 3, blessing to God. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Okay, that's good. But is that the way your life demonstrates? We better be careful about what words come out of our mouth, whether we're speaking them or singing them. Sometimes we're even challenged, perhaps, as you look at the words of a closing song. Maybe if you're not sure, maybe it would be best if you wouldn't even sing that closing song. This is what we're getting at. We'd better be careful about what we say, how we use our mouths. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 2. You have planted them, yea, they have taken root, they grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. You are near in their mouth and far from their reins or their hearts. Hypocritical words. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, I love Jesus. Oh, yes, he means so much to me. Oh, yes. Near in the mouth. But what about reality? That was Jeremiah 12:2. Let me give you one in Isaiah 29:13. Isaiah 29:13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men, I'm going to do a marvelous work among this people. God says, I'm going to do a work in their lives that they're not expecting. You know, they think they have me fooled. They talk about me there to listen to their words. Yeah, they talk is cheap, but they're not really honoring me because their hearts aren't with me. Well, as long as the words are good, as long as the words are right, isn't that enough? No. No, it's not. Well, what kind of words do we say? Sometimes double talk. Depends on what kind of a mood we're in. Which side of the mouth we talk out of, we saw in James 3. Or we saw in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Sometimes we're guilty of hypocritical words. We say one thing, but we don't really mean what we're saying. And we think just because the words are sounding good that that's all that matters. But man looks on the outward, but where does God look at? He looks on our hearts. We might have one another fooled by what we say, but we don't have God fooled. Sadly, Colossians 3, Ephesians 4 gives us another answer to what kind of words can these mouths be used for. Colossians 3, 8 and 9, for instance. Colossians 3, 8 and 9. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. You know, that filthy communication, those words that just slide right off of the tip of the tongue. I'm convinced a lot of times people have used them so much they're not even aware they're saying the filth and the corruption. They'd be shocked if you would question them about, what did you just say? Why did you just say that? Why? I don't know where that came from. It came from the old nature. And you see, when we belong to the Lord, the old language needs to disappear. And we have a whole new set of vocabulary words. That's what pleases our Lord. But sadly, filthy communication comes out of the mouths. Ephesians 4, 29, 31, Paul spoke to another church. This was John's topic this morning in our Sunday school class. The epistle to the Ephesians, 29 of chapter 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Instead, that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace to the hearers. That's what ought to be coming out of our mouths. Rather than giving someone a piece of our mind and telling them where to go, Paul said, what comes out of our mouth as a believer ought to be ministering grace. Is that how we use our mouths? Are we ever concerned about the use of our mouth? We ought to be. The psalmist was in that opening verse, Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable unto you. Filthy words are not acceptable unto the Lord. Under no circumstance ever. Drop down to verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's past. That's done. That's no more. There's no allowances for it. Well, you know, I was just really so upset. You understand, don't you? No, God doesn't understand. We need to be concerned about the words of our mouth. Our concern ought to be with the psalmist that what comes out of my mouth, whether I'm upset or perfectly content, be ministering grace to the hearers and be acceptable unto my Lord. Well, it's not all bad what comes out of our mouth, and we've talked about the challenge of having them minister grace to the hearers. Look at Ephesians 5:19-20. Here's the use of our lips. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dick and Margo, can't you just hear Bob Parks quoting this verse to the choir? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's the use, the right use of our words. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. By God's grace, may that be the kind of things that we use our mouth for. By God's grace, may we avoid some of those areas that we've looked at. Double words, hypocritical words, filthy communication. May there be that which is honoring, truthful, and a blessing to others. But let's move on. And are we, quite often we are, quite concerned about our words, because as we almost all admitted, it's usually our words that get us in trouble more than our thoughts. And many times we have to tell ourselves, well, I'm sure glad they didn't know what I was thinking. Well, is that anything really to be proud about? I didn't say it, but boy, if they would have known what I was thinking. Well, guess what? there is someone that does know what we're thinking. And that's our Heavenly Father, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit who indwells us. So let's think about the thoughts of our heart, the words of our mouth, and the meditation of our heart. Supposing a person was able to pass on the words, as we've looked at those lists this evening, and you've said, Pastor, you know, I don't say those kinds of things, and I try to be honest in what I say. I don't try to have a double tongue and things like this. Suppose one passed with the words. But what about the meditation of the heart? Why should I be so concerned? Because we turn to Psalm 139, my favorite psalm. And what do we read about those things in our heart? Psalm 139, verse 2 tells us, You know my downsitting and mine uprising. You understandest my what? My thought afar off. I am convinced that what this means doesn't just mean that, you know, heaven is a long ways away from earth, but you still know it. You know, you're not, you know, from a long ways off. You know. I'm convinced that what this means, you understand my thoughts before I even what? Think them. You know what I'm going to be thinking. You know how I'm going to respond to what tomorrow or next week or next month will bring. You know what I'm going to do. I'd better be concerned. I better be thinking about that. I better be prayerful. Oh, Lord, may I, like the psalmist, may my heart desire be that not only the words of my mouth, but the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you. You know what's coming. I want to make sure that even what I think about it is pleasing to you. That's a good prayer. That'd be a good way for us to begin the day, wouldn't it? Why are we so concerned about the thoughts of our heart? It's true, God knows them. But perhaps to get a little bit more specific, we would turn to Matthew chapter 15 and discover that the Lord teaches us some tremendous truth about thoughts in our heart. Matthew 15, 18 to 20. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from where? The heart. We let fly those words and we like to blame it on, they made me mad. They cut me off. They almost ran into me. I told them off. That's why I did that. No, that's not why you. That's not why those words came out of the mouth. The words came out of the mouth because they're resident in the heart. Out of the mouth, the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. We can't blame it on, we can't blame those sinful words on anything but our what? our own hearts. And they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. And they'll come out of the mouth. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, like the Pharisees were concerned about, the Lord says that's not going to defile a man at all. The thing that defiles him is what comes out of his mouth, because it finally escapes out our voice boxes what is going on down inside in the generator, in the power plant of our lives. So we need to be concerned. God knows our hearts. We need to be concerned about our thoughts and the meditation of our heart, because they really show us who we are, what we are. It's the meditation of our hearts. Now, what's in our thoughts? What's in your thoughts? When you lay down at night, when you're alone, when the noise finally stops, what begins to fill your mind, your thoughts? What is it? One verse we heard already, as a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. What do you have in your thoughts when the days finally shut down? What about the Word? Do you ever find the Word? That's a good thing to put in your thoughts. Turn with me to Psalm 119. And we're going to fly through this one. But how about if you're concerned about what kinds of thoughts you have, how about fill your mind with the Word of God? Let that be what you meditate on. All right, Psalm 119, verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Verse 23, thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. People were talking against me, he said. I meditated on your word. Verse 48, my hands also will I lift up to your commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in your statutes. Verse 78, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in your precepts. 97, oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. You want to think right? You need to think on the right source. Finally, 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches. It anticipates what that means. What he's saying is, I look forward to the nighttime, that I might meditate in your word. There we go. Let's fill our minds with the right thing. And then we discover we're going to have some right things to think of. Psalm 5, verse 1. The psalmist said this, Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Consider. What a prayer. A desire for the Lord to consider, understand, discern, think about what I'm thinking about. Wow. Hey, are you courageous enough to ask the Lord to consider your meditation? The psalmist in our Psalm 19:14 said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." What a prayer. What a prayer. This should be our prime concern. Not just what I speak or what I say, but just as equally, what's in my heart and what I think about. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the truth of your word. We thank you for the challenge of it. And I do pray, Lord, that we would be conscious, not just of our words. So often we're so careful about what we say about so-and-so, or when so-and-so is present. Oh, Lord, may our concern be the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts at all time. And may our concern that they be acceptable unto you. If you're pleased with them, that's all that matters. In your name we pray. Amen.